morning, everyone. Thank you so much. Good to see you all. I'm just going to give a little background here. We have been looking at the questions that Jesus is asking us at Rylane Chapel. And Barry has looked at two of those already. One to do with worry, and last week was the one to do with, why do we call him Lord, Lord, and yet we don't do what the Lord wants us to do? As I am thinking about this morning, I'm reminded of the fact that these stories and these parables are part of a bigger story of God. This story that we will look at today reflects something about what God is doing in individual lives, but also in the big cosmic world and God's big, big plan. He is at work and he is trying to change all of our lives. So our topic for today is, why are you afraid? The Bible talks a lot about fear. I read some of that. It says that there are 365 verses that talks about fear, one for each day in the week, in the month, in the year. But fear really can get hold of us. There are two kinds of fear, as we all know, a godly fear and a worldly fear. You know, godly fear brings us closer to God. Psalms 111 verse 10, godly fear is the beginning of wisdom, understanding. And Proverbs 1:7, knowledge, Proverbs 19:23, leads to life, rest, peace, contentment, Proverbs 14:27, a fountain of life, provides security and safety, godly fear. He does all of that for us. The effects of godly fear, it comes from a place of respect, love, and peace. To have godly fear means to trust, love, and worship God for who he is, and there is a sense of honesty and accountability. Even when we do wrongs, things, God still loves us and cares for us, and there's a trust there. So godly fear. Worldly fear, or ungodly fear, Timothy 1:7, 2 Timothy 1:7 talks about, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This spirit of fear is from Satan, the enemy of God. The effects of worldly or ungodly fear, it comes from a place of hate, trouble, pain, distrust, disruption, and dissolution. It brings a sense of insecurity and fear. It makes us to believe in lies. Those are the two kinds of fear that we have, a godly fear and a ungodly fear. Godly and worldly fears, both are at work today. As you can see, the more we give in to godly fear, you know, we get closer to God. The more we give in to worldly fear or spirit of this age, we make ourselves vulnerable to the power of darkness and the forces of evil. When we find ourselves in a situation like the disciples on the boat, a life or death situation, the voices of God speaks to us. You know, the thing is that, fear is a voice that speaks. Fear is a voice that speaks in our situation. When we are in a situation like the disciples, God, to his presence of the person Jesus, he spoke and he was with them. The disciples believed in the outcome before the event took place. They believed in something that did not happen, but something that was about to happen. They were in fear. They were in a stormy situation, but not in the water, drowning, nor dying from it. It was a prediction and not a reality yet. The fear took hold of them, and they did not exercise the faith, even the little faith that they had. They never exercise it. they have to refer the whole matter to Jesus, which in fact, you know, rebukes them for their lack of faith. We must learn to guard our minds in a situation like that, because when fear gets hold of us, when the bad fear, when the ungodly fear attacks us, we are all over the place. Our body mood swings, you know, we panic, all that kind of thing. But with godly fear, we are in control, we are at peace. During my times of the time that I had COVID, in the height of my illness, there was a time that I passed out. And I was in a semi-conscious state of mind, but I had voices telling me that I was just a number and that I was not going to make it. You know, when these voices started talking to me like that, you know, I was scared, I was fearful. But in that moment, I had learned to call upon the name of the Lord. Dear, thank you for reminding us this morning to call on the name of the Lord. You know, we have that name. In that name, the demons flee. In that name, all, you know, everybody confesses that he is Lord. I started calling on the name of the Lord, and another voice spoke, and he spoke very clearly in a calm way. And he says, Patrick, that illness is not going to destroy you, but it's going to make you stronger. When I heard that, you know, there was a sense of calm and peace. It was like God was right there in front of me. I wish I could just reach out and hug him, but God spoke. The voices of ungodly makes us fearful, but God is much stronger. He is with us. He has given us his name to use. He has given us his spirit to seek guidance. He has given us his word. And also above all, he has given us a gift of faith. You know, faith is a gift. God has given this faith. We can trust him. We can trust him for today. We can trust him for eternity. That's a wonderful thing to give to have, that God has given us this gift, the gift of faith, to believe in him. You know, faith is believing in a person, the person of Jesus Christ, in God and his word. I must move on here. Why are you afraid of the fear of death? This week, we all can relate to you, and yes, our hearts are downhearted because our loved one has gone. And I'm sharing this with a little bit of sensitivity here for our families and those who have gone to be with the Lord. For the disciples, they were afraid. I'm not sure if they were afraid of dying, or maybe they felt that they were not ready to go yet. You know, they had young families, and most of the disciples were probably in their teenagers. We know of Peter, who had a wife, because Jesus earlier on went and healed his mother-in-law. But these disciples, you know, they left everything to follow Jesus. And they want to see their children grow up. They want to see and stay a bit longer. And they had a ministry that Jesus has called them to do. So why are you afraid of? What were they afraid of? Probably not dying because they want to stay a bit longer. The other thing that came into mind was that the absence of Jesus. Now that's a little bit contradiction, because we know Jesus was on that boat, in that boat. But let me say, Jesus was on that boat, but the moment that they needed him, he was absent. How? He was asleep. He was asleep. And, you know, he was asleep in peace when the disciples were running around, panicking and all the rest of it. I think Jesus expected them to do something, exercise faith. And it doesn't say in the scripture that they did something. All they did was they went and woke Jesus up. The absence of Jesus. And That reminds me, I'm not saying that Jesus was absent the whole time. No, that very moment, he was asleep. He was asleep. And that did not mean that he was completely absent, but he was present, yet not engaging. In our moments like this, sometimes heaven is silent. When we desperately need God, heaven seems to be silent. When help happens, what do we tend to do? You know, we tend to wander off. We may start off with a little faith, but as things get intensified, our faith starts to waver. So that's one little thing that I've found out, and maybe we can discuss more later in the week. Like I said, the ungodly fears, they make predictions. They don't tell you exactly what's going to happen. They make predictions, and the disciples were seeing the end results from the beginning and drew the conclusions that they will die as a result of drowning. But they haven't drowned yet. Yes, the water came in, but they were not drowning. They were not dying just yet. And that's what fear does. Fear tricks us to believe in something that is not there, or it possibly would come or happen. But it hasn't happened until the event took place. It hasn't happened yet. It's in theory. When we start believing the future from where we are, that's when things start to go wrong, I believe, in my opinion. We must not fear death. That's what I was going to say next. We must not fear death. As Christians, we have this great assurance in the complete work of Jesus Christ. Jesus has done it. He has gone through it. He is breaking the power of sin and death. And he has paved the way for us. As Christians, we do not need to be afraid. But if you are not a Christian, I would really ask you to consider. I would really ask you to consider. These promises are for Christians, that there is life after death. And Jesus has granted us eternity because of what he had done and our response to him. John 11, 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though he dies. John 10, 10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you may have life in all its fullness. 1 Corinthians 15, 56 to 57, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. Psalm 16, 116, 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Philippians 1, 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. In view of God's big plan, life and death are irrelevant to God. It matters to us. There's no such thing as day or life in God's presence. God's presence is God's presence. We operate in time and space. God exists outside of time and space. As Christians, physical death is a graduation of this life to the next. We may be separated from our loved ones, but we will be in a far better place. There in the presence of God, all will go if we are walking in step and in faith. As Christians, physical death is a sad reality, but we must celebrate it the same way when we celebrated the time we were born. Because in death, new life only begins. In death. Let me push on to the last one. Oh, our time's moving on. What are you afraid of? A lack of faith. The opposite of faith, fear, is faith. Some people say the best way to overcome your fear is to face it. I think there's some truth in there. And I think that relates to probably what I was trying to think of in this oral section here, which I'm not going to go through it right now. But it talks about faith. And We have looked at faith in other series of teachings before, but let me point a few things here. So when we think about faith, we're thinking about a person, putting a belief and our trust in a person, not in some ideas, not in some wishful thinking, not in some future unknown things or names or places. We put our faith in Jesus. Like Pastor Frank always says, put all our heads into one basket. We put all our hopes and all our dreams and everything into the basket of Jesus. That's it. That's what faith is. And see what faith can do. Faith can do so much more. And it will take us to places and avenues that we have never explored God before. I want to rush on to something that I really wanted to do, because what is God saying to Ryland Chapel in terms of this topic about fear? And I'm just going to read to you something that came into my mind this morning as I was preparing this. So I'm just going to read to you as I wrote it down. Yeah, but before I do that, Ian, if you could help me, this last PowerPoint, please. I've got in here a little bold, but I don't know if you can see it. Yes, so a friend gave me this little gift, and I've kept it for some time. And I don't know if you can see it or not, but on that little boat there, it says, "We can't control the wind, but we can adjust the sails." And the verse there is Psalms 46:10. Psalm 46:10, what does it say? "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." Yes, thank you, Ian. I don't know what you're going through. COVID has brought us a lot of challenges. People, the thing about fear is so real. Death is so real. But I want to read to you this. God, this is what I believe God is saying to us, Rylanders. God is saying, "I am the captain of this boat. I am in control. You need not to fear. Those cares and concerns you have, bring them all to the cross and leave them there. Don't bring them back. Trust me, I know them all. Come and rest with me. I am the creator of the universe, including your lives. I can control the wind and the sails. I want you to adjust your sails. Trust me, trust me, trust me. I have been doing a new thing, and I'm doing a new thing, and I will do a new thing. It will all make sense. I am in control. Don't fear. Trust me."